The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
So a day later than usual, it's our personal finance spot with Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent. Start for me, please, about the central bank decision to disband its consumer protection unit.
Matt, this is a real head scratcher. When I got a tip off about this, I got back to the person saying, are you serious? You have this all wrong. I'm obviously going to check it out, but it just didn't seem right. Why would the central bank, you know, one of its central jobs is, its functions under legislation is to protect the consumer. Why would it shut down its dedicated consumer protection unit? And also the head of that division, who's at director level, very senior in central bank, he's leaving the job and they're not going to replace that person. Instead, they're going to take the 169 people who work in consumer protection in this consumer protection directorate, move them around to different departments. So they're going to put some of them into the regulation of banks, banking and supervision, and put some of them into insurance supervision and get them to work on consumer protection issues within those divisions because they think that'd be more effective. But a lot of people are saying just doesn't make any sense. See, you have, and you know, just today, the head of the finance committee in the Oireachtas Finance Committee, John McGuinness, that's a pretty powerful committee. He's calling in the Central Bank Governor, Gabriel McMaloof, to explain this because he says, look, we've got no notice about this. What the hell's going on here? Why is this happening? It seems extraordinary. You know, you've had MEP Billy Kelleher saying this is ridiculous. The banks have huge lobbying power. They're delighted, of course. I mean, the word I'm getting is the banks are delighted this is happening. You know, consumers, who's standing up for consumers? Why would you disband that dedicated unit and spread the staff around other divisions?
I'm trying to recall from back around the time of the crash, the controversy that there was about how the central bank didn't actually fulfil its consumer functions at the time, that all it was interested in was, ironically, the stability of the banks.
Yeah, exactly, Matt.
And remember, there was all this time, I mean, I think it was back about, it must be 20 years ago now, that the functions of consumer protection were assimilated into the central bank. Yeah. And then everyone said, well, actually, the central bank did nothing for consumers. So in some respects, are they getting rid of something that never worked on behalf of the consumers anyway? That we actually need an external body which would call the central bank to account, as well as all of the commercial lenders and the bankers and the other financial institutions who are operating.
Well, that's the model we used to have before the collapse. You're absolutely right. And it wasn't seen to work. But look, it doesn't work with as it is at the moment. And now that it's going to be disbanded from January, will it be even worse? You know, and you're absolutely right, Matt. This comes on the back of a whole string of overcharging scandals which have harmed consumers more than anyone else. You have the tracker mortgage thing, obviously one of the biggest overcharging scandals in the country.
Which was not highlighted by central bank action. It was the likes of you and campaigners who brought this to the public attention and forced the political action. The central bank itself was never the one which spotted this type of thing going on and stopped it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I brought it to their attention in 2009 and they said there's nothing to see here in this tracker thing. And it was 2015 before they decided there was something to see, that it was a problem. You know, you have had a sale of mortgages to vulture funds. The central bank was among those telling these people, you're fine, nothing's going to change here, you're going to be looked after. They are now finding out to their cost that's not the case because they are being punished with really high interest rates. They were never expected that they wouldn't be allowed to fix and that to be put on really high variable rates. You had the collapse of Custom House Capital. The departure of KBC and Ulster Bank. It's not entirely down to the central bank, but they have blamed the central bank, saying that they were forced to put aside too much capital and it wasn't great for their business. You've had insurance failures. You've had a massive inadequacies with the central bank's own fitness and probity regime.
I suppose the central bank would say that the consumer protection has been provided by the rules in relation to mortgage lending in particular in recent years. And OK, there's a certain argument in relation to that. But could it be that the real issue here is that the Ombudsman for Financial Services and for various things, other ombudsmen, do not have enough power? And that maybe if this is actually happening in the central bank, that we need to have a standalone state-enforced replacement for it.
You're absolutely right, Matt. Look, the ombudsman can only be reactive. They can only react to something that's gone wrong, get involved in its dispute resolution. Whereas you need somebody to intervene early and say, look, we don't like the look of what the product you're issuing there. It's harmful to consumers. There's no protections. That's, you know, or you're selling unregulated products, we need to seek more powers to do that. We need to protect the consumer. Who stands up for the consumer in this country? It's just infuriating that there's so little consumer protection in this country that we're left to swing, and it breeds cynicism, contempt, and a feeling that the little guys don't matter, Matt. And it's actually quite serious that this is happening. And I hope Gabriel McLouf is brought into the Oireachtas Committee and is grilled up and down on this and asked, what are you doing here? Because most of what they do in the Central Bank now is the most of the regulation is coming from Frankfurt, the European Central Bank. And what I'm told is a lot of the Central Bank staff, and there's 2,000 of them in the docks there in Dublin, they're listening in on Zoom meetings to regulators from Frankfurt telling them what's happening. And so you really wonder what's going on here. You know, we need much more proactive, much more intrusive regulation, as Matthew Elderfield, who was brought in after the bank collapse, brought in to help consumers. That's what he said we would get. We never got it, Matt.
But then I just mentioned to you a couple of moments ago about how the Central Bank would say that it protected consumers by enforcing tough mortgage rules to make sure that people didn't overborrow. But then how does that tally with the European Central Bank doing research which says that those mortgage rules that capped borrowing for would-be homebuyers actually hurt younger, middle-income and less well-off households?
This is exactly the point you asked a few minutes ago, and I think you put your finger on it, Matt. Who is the Central Bank acting for? Because these rules, according to the European Central Bank, which is its boss, essentially, these mortgage lending restrictions, this is where you can only borrow what it's now four times your income and you have to have a 10% deposit. These were brought in to stabilise the system, to stop the banks collapsing again. But they're harmful to consumers, according to a study published by the European Central Bank. This is extraordinary stuff. You know, they're saying that these macroprudential rules, as they're called, are actually making it more difficult for people, particularly on lower middle income people, to get on the housing ladder, push up rents. They're good for landlords, but not good for households. Younger people in particular are trapped in long-term rental accommodation because of these rules. So these rules are good for the system, good for the banks, not necessarily good for home buyers. Now, you could argue, hold on a minute, that's just, you know, so much hogwash. These rules are good at protecting people as well. It stops them over borrowing because, you know, you can't, it means effectively you can't have a 100% mortgage. And, you know, if prices collapse at all, you're in trouble with a 100% mortgage. But it's a very interesting perspective that the European Central Bank, three academics will come out with a study published by the European Central Bank saying that these mortgage lending restrictions are harmful to ordinary people.
Now, what about, though, people with tracker mortgages? Do you have some good news for them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is they've got to get a second cut from the ECB announcing a European Central Bank cut, September cut on top of the June cut.
And that has to be handed on automatically by the banks which have sold these tracker mortgages
exactly.
And still have
part,
them.
Part of the contract, Matt, every time the European Central Bank rate moves, it's called the refinancing rates, you automatically get it, whether it goes up or down, it impacts you directly. And as people have found that their costs, when there was 10 increases up to September last year, they got every one of those passed on to them. So now they're going to get the cut passed on to them. Plus they're in line for a special cut, a special one-off cut, because the Central Bank, the European Central Bank, it has a number of different lending rates. It has a deposit rate, it has a refinance rate. The deposit rate is the rate it pays banks when they put money in there. Those some of its rates are out of whack and they want to bring them back into line. So they're going to reduce what's called the refinancing rate, which trackers are priced off. They're going to reduce that by 0.35%. So between the latest cut and this special one-off technical adjustment, people with trackers are due for a reduction of 0.6 percentage points, Matt, worth about 29, 30 euros a month for somebody typically owes 100 grand left on their tracker, about 15 years left on it. And over a year, that's about 360 euros in lower payments.
Is there any good news, though, for people on variable rates?
No, not great, Matt. You know, but there is some for those trapped with the vultures, you know, to be fair. I was on to Pepper, who manage mortgages on behalf of vulture funds. They have 100,000 plus mortgages they manage. I was also on to Mars Capital, who took over Start Mortgages, and they would be debt managers as well. Pepper are saying they're preparing to lower some of their variable rates, which are extremely high. I mean, I wrote in the Irish Independent that some of the Pepper rates are as high as 9%. I had guys sending me in extracts of letters this morning saying, no, actually mine is over 10%. So But they're going to at least 10,000 of these people who are trapped with the vulture funds that can only get variable rates are going to see some relief there. Mars Capital are saying, look, they're keeping it under consideration. Also, it'd be good to see non-bank lenders, Finance Ireland and ICS, they have quite high variable rates. If you come off one of their fixed rates, you go into a high variable rate with them, up to 6%. They're likely to cut their rates as well.
We've got to leave it there. Charlie Weston, personal finance editor with the Irish Independent. Thank you for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.